We are to have our hearts fixed on Christ. We're not to reject him. We're to see him as that great treasure. That great treasure. Where is your heart? Is your heart fully fixed upon the Savior? There are many who want the security of heaven, the security of peace, but yet they desire all the world, all that the world has to offer. What did the Savior say? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Wealth, money. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Who do you serve tonight? Are you focused and fixed upon the Savior?
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Oh, the deep.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, produced by the Free Presbyterian Church. We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we're delighted that you are joining our program. Do drop us a line if you've been blessed by these programs, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can always go to our website, cloverdalefpc.ca, to find those contact details. And they will be repeated at the end of this program. We're going to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of that message, Investing in Eternity.
I remember going to Romania many years ago, 19 years ago, around May, September 2004, I think it was. And we were to sing as a group, and we sang a number of songs, but we sang, if I remember rightly, There Is Coming a Day. That great hymn that reminds us of the coming of Christ, of us going into heaven and seeing the Savior face to face. And you had old saints there. Those who had lived nearly all their lives under communism. Those who, as they lived and their lives desired to worship God, but had to do so carefully and underground. Those who had seen horrendous things over the years, the loss of life and revolution. And as we sang, some of those old saints, it was pointed out to us, I think it happened a lot when they heard that hymn. They were crying because of their love for Christ and the hardships that they had. Their treasure was not on earth. They were just passing through. They were fixed upon the Savior. They understood that this world, the things within it, it's fleeting, it's temporal, it doesn't last. Our treasure will if our treasure outlasts us, it will not outlast the end of this world. The treasure is also in danger from those who covet and desire it, and theft and destruction. How many have lost everything? Thomas Adams, the Puritan, said, "Wealth is like a bird. It hops all day from man to man as that doth from tree to tree, and none will say where it will roost or spend the night." It's not wrong to have riches. Many believers in Scripture used their riches. They were given riches by God. They used them wisely. But when we think of our riches, that is not to be the focus of our lives. God may have blessed us in wonderful ways. That is not the focus of our lives. What is our attitude toward riches? Are such riches seen as the blessing of God used to glorify Him? We are to understand that earthly treasure is temporal. Matthew Henry said, in light of this, we must not count these things the best things, nor the most valuable. He said, we must not covet an abundance of these things. We must not confide in them for the future and for our security. We must not content ourselves with them as all we need or desire, because they will one day pass away. He says we are laying up for ourselves in the other world. The other world, the spiritual treasure. And this is something we must understand. And unbeliever, this is crucial to your understanding. This world, its wealth, its riches will pass away. It will be gone. You can spend your life in the pursuit of it, but one day it will be gone. And when that day comes, what about your soul? There was a rich man, Luke 16. And he did that. He lived for his riches. His eye was to his business and to the world. And he lifted up his eyes, were in hell. And he was in torments because he laid up treasure in heaven, or treasure on earth, and nothing in heaven. Nothing in heaven. If you notice, he refers to Abraham, his father Abraham, in that passage. Oh, he knew something of religion. He knew who Abraham was. But he knew nothing of salvation. Nothing of salvation. His focus was on the world. Where are your priorities? Earthly treasure is temporal. But notice here we see heavenly treasure is eternal. This is the direct contrast. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And our purpose, therefore, is to lay up this treasure. It's a heavenly treasure. And there's a great need then to invest in eternity, to recognize that this treasure, this heavenly treasure, is important to your soul. It can never be corrupted because this treasure is all about Christ. It's a glorious treasure. It's a Christ-centered treasure. When we think of the believer is purchased with the incorruptible blood of Christ. And Matthew Henry said, it is our wisdom to lay up our treasure in those treasures, to give all diligence to make sure our title to eternal life through Christ, and to depend upon that as our happiness, and to look upon all things here below with a holy contempt, as not worthy to be compared to it. So in other words, Christ and his blood are far greater than the things of this world. Paul called these things, the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, that we would have our eye upon that which is eternal, that which is spiritual. This world will mock Christ. It will lift up its wealth, its treasure, its pleasures, its sin before the lovely Son of God. Christ is worthless in their eyes and in their estimation. They will cast him down. They will trample over him. That's what we expect the world to do. But the most precious treasure this world has ever known. Utter rejection. Utter rejection. But dear believer, we are to have our hearts fixed on Christ. We're not to reject him. We're to see him as that great treasure. That great treasure. Where is your heart? Is your heart fully fixed upon the Savior? There are many who want the security of heaven, the security of peace, but yet they desire all the world, all that the world has to offer. What did the Savior say? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, wealth, money. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Who do you serve tonight? Are you focused and fixed upon the Savior, loving him, desiring him, placing him first? Or do you have, as it were, a foot in religion and another foot in this world, and you're trying to bring the two together? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Where does your heart lie? Where does your heart lie? We can place everything spiritual, everything eternal, everything heavenly under this thought, because that's what's in view here, a blessed treasure, an eternal treasure, a treasure that can never be corrupted, a treasure that must be possessed, the treasure of salvation. And how do we obtain that? Through Christ, through faith in him, through repentance for our sin, trusting him, possessing that everlasting treasure. Do you know that treasure? Is your heart filled with that blessed treasure of Christ? Notice here as well that we see, thirdly, under this first heading, that men are either good or evil. Men are either good or evil. Matthew 12, verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's one or the other. And the Savior here sets out that truth, that the treasure within the heart of a man determines whether his actions and his words are either good or evil. Therefore, the man who has that good treasure of Christ will bear witness to that treasure in all that he does. Oh, dear believer, that if that would be your desire, that Christ is your treasure, and that that treasure will be seen in all that you do. The man who is invested in this world, who's invested in an evil treasure, cannot be good. Cannot be good. And the words of Christ there are in contrast to the attitude of the world. The world says, men and women are good. There's some good in us all. We're not all evil. How dare you say we're evil? Yet the Savior here speaks of good men and evil men. It's one or the other. And on the day of judgment, it is one or the other. You either belong to Christ and have his treasure, or you have the treasure of this world. You cannot be both. You cannot be both. Many years ago, there was a man passed away in one of our churches in Northern Ireland. His responsibility of my minister to conduct the funeral service. And I was talking about who this man was, and I didn't know who he was. I had never seen him in church. And going by the description and the man's name, I knew the name because I had seen his credit card. Because I worked in a supermarket, he had come into the supermarket, he paid for his groceries. I, at one stage, had done his shopping for him, put it through the checkout. I knew his name. It was the same man. I described him. It's the same man. I says, he's a member of our church, or attended our church. Yes. Never saw him. He associated himself with the church. He said he was a Free Presbyterian. But the only time he was ever in that church for many, many years was his own funeral service. Never darkened the door. Yet I'm a Free Presbyterian. That church down the road there, across the street, that's my church. Said that for years. The next time he was in was his own funeral. Never came. Where was the treasure of his heart? It was not a treasure that drove him to God's house. It was not a treasure that drove him to witness for Christ in his family and community. It was not a treasure that brought him to worship the living God of heaven. But yet he claimed that the church was his church. Where is your heart? You can say, this church is my church. And that's well and good, but on the day of judgment, what does matter, not whether this church is your church or not, is Christ your Savior? Or is he not your Savior? What is the treasure of your heart? The Lord looks upon the heart. The Lord looks upon the heart. The proverb says, Proverbs 10 verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. There is good and there is evil. But secondly, in order to invest in eternity, you must obey Christ's command to lay up treasure. Obey Christ's command. Christ says, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And Christ says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Though that phrase, lay up, it means to amass, it means to reserve, it means to store. So what is in view here? Men store and reserve riches and goods. Provision must be made for the future. Joseph did that in regard to the famine in Egypt. And not once in Scripture do we find the suggestion that reserving and storing is sinful. There is a necessity to store for times when it is needed. But the focus must always be on the glory of God. The lens must be fixed on him. And the Savior's statement here to not lay up treasures in this world is not to be fixated by them, not to be obsessed by them. Yes, you need to save. Yes, you need to have some money in the bank. Yes, you might need to have some food in the cupboard. Yes, you may need to make provision for your retirement and various other things, and to save and to store. But that's not our fixation. That's not our obsession. We are commanded to lay up treasure in heaven, not merely to know Christ, but to pursue Christ and all of his treasure, to store up that treasure, to reserve that treasure, to fill your heart with that treasure, to fill it so much that it is overflowing, overflowing. There was one children's cartoon many years ago called DuckTales. One of the characters, Scrooge McDuck, had a massive tower filled with gold. And I remember as a child watching that, and I saw him swimming through all the gold. And I thought, how can he do that? It's a cartoon, so it must be true. He must be able to swim through all these gold coins. And when we think of that, our heart is to be like that. Not with the gold of this world, but with the gold of Christ. And not merely stored up inside us, but spilling over. And being used in our lives in this world, not being hidden away. but spilling over and affecting others, laying up that treasure in heaven so that that treasure is being built up within our hearts and is spilling out and affecting all around us, using that which God has given and God has blessed us with for His work and for His kingdom. This laying up of treasure implies a carefulness and a diligent endeavor. It's not an easy thing. We just can't sit back and let it happen. We are to strive after it. We're to work after it. We're to seek it. We're to seek it. And how do we build up this treasure? It's through the means of grace, through the ministry of God's word, through prayer, through reading, through good Christian company, company that will encourage you in storing up that treasure. How many young believers have been led astray by company that is not Christian? Friends whose priority in life is to store up earthly treasure. Surround yourselves with friends who know and love the Lord, who are focused on the same as you to lay up that treasure. It is a command. And dear believer, if we are to invest in eternity, we must be saved. We must know the Lord. We must obey this command. And then thirdly, you must be sanctified by Christ's treasure. Sanctified by Christ's treasures. We invest in eternity. This treasure affects us. We've touched on this briefly. Another Puritan said, a treasure in the heart vents itself in the life. Treasure in the heart vents itself in the life. And that is our point here, the effect of treasure within our hearts. A good treasure will send forth good things. And that should be our desire, that our hearts are so filled with Christ and His salvation and His gospel and His word that this world is benefiting as those things overflow within our lives. Let us love the souls of others. Let us be determined to live for Christ because of that treasure that's found within us. Oh, how easy it can be to hinder the gospel. For Christians to hinder the word of God. Let us be careful. Let us seek to live close to Christ. Let us not think that I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I like. Let us live close to the Lord and desire His treasure. Desire His treasure. Our actions should be godly and gracious. Heaven should be our eternal home. Riches provide a certain comfort, but never an everlasting, satisfying peace. That comes from the treasure of the heart. Oh, this treasure, it sanctifies us. It brings us closer to Christ. And dear believer, that should be your desire, to be like your Savior, as we saw this morning, to be long-suffering, to be gracious, to be merciful, to be filled with goodness and truth, to move on, to be like Christ. And as we are sanctified, we die more and more unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. And the treasure of our heart affects us in that way. An old preacher once said, the real measure of our wealth is how much we would be worth if we lost all our money. In other words, that's not real wealth. It's the wealth that's found in the soul. If we lost everything, what would we be worth regarding our wealth? Is there a spiritual treasure? A treasure that places Christ first. A treasured soul is of great worth. It is the workmanship of God. It is God's delight. A treasured soul can live in a time of spiritual dearth, keeping close to Christ. John Flavel, and we'll close with this, the Puritan said, the Christians have two sorts of goods, the goods of the throne and the goods of the footstool. Goods of the throne, the spiritual goods, and the goods of the footstool. Goods that are movable and goods that are immovable. Where is your priority? The goods that are movable or the goods that are immovable? The treasure of God. May we have that treasure within our hearts through faith and repentance. May we obey the command of the Lord to lay it up within our hearts. And may we see in our lives the blessed work and effect of that treasure. May God bless His word tonight. For His name's sake, amen.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Psalm 91, verse 9. Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The Israelites in the wilderness were continually exposed to change. Whenever the pillar stayed its motion, the tents were pitched. But tomorrow, ere the morning sun had risen, the trumpets sounded, the ark was in motion, and the fiery, cloudy pillar was leading the way through the narrow defiles of the mountains, up the hillside, or along the arid waste of the wilderness. They had scarcely time to rest a little before they heard the sound of, Away! This is not your rest. You must still be onward journeying towards Canaan. They were never long in one place. Even wells and palm trees could not detain them. Yet they had an abiding home in their God. His cloudy pillar was their roof tree, and its flame by night their household fire. They must go onward from place to place, continually changing, never having time to settle, and to say, Now we are secure, in this place we shall dwell. Yet, says Moses, though we are always changing, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. The Christian knows no change with regard to God. He may be rich today and poor tomorrow. He may be sickly today and well tomorrow. He may be in happiness today. Tomorrow he may be distressed. But there is no change with regard to his relationship to God. If he loved me yesterday, he loves me today. My unmoving mansion of rest is my blessed Lord. Let prospects be blighted, let hopes be blasted, let joy be withered, let mildews destroy everything. I have lost nothing of what I have in God. He is my strong habitation whereunto I can continually resort. I am a pilgrim in the world, but at home in my God. In the earth I wander, but in God I dwell in a quiet habitation. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue in Surrey. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. and we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. We invite you to join us again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.